I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host for 2 hours a day, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, those willing to look at the facts, the statistics. I was challenged the other day. Didn't want me bringing my statistics to the vaccine debate. We've got some very interesting ones coming out of England right now. For now, anyway. The narrative—it's not going well. Let me just put it that way. It's not going well when it comes to the overall efficacy of these shots, and the numbers out of Great Britain are interesting. Interesting. So we'll certainly talk about that, along with a quote, something that Barack Obama said the other day about this vaccination program. You know, I haven't talked about it a whole lot. I think at one point, a lot of us here at WYAB, as this program is being rolled out, we're almost criticized, or not almost, some people did criticize. That's all you guys talk about. Well, look, it's a big deal. This is a very big deal. As much as the mainstream media wants you to believe that this is something very normal, just a reaction to a deadly disease, it is no such thing. This is a grand experiment on people, and Barack Obama will back me up on that when we get to his quote. So got a little bit of those things coming in to the show today. Also a little bit of Tech Tuesday at the end. You know, someone's going to have to call up and explain the blockchain to me, because I'm getting confused. I thought it was the most secure way to send money and hold assets, and we're supposed to be signing contracts and voting using the blockchain, yet I run across headlines all the time where, seems a little vulnerable. So we'll get into that in Tech Tuesday today. Quotes of the day today. Nietzsche said, "Society tames the wolf into a dog, and man is the most domesticated animal of all." I'll just leave that one there. This was an interesting one in light of what we'll discuss in just a second here. As George Washington said, "It is the freedom of speech," "if the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter." Yeah, it looks like George was pretty serious about free speech, and that's certainly in the spotlight today. "If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter." And I think I can tie these couple of things together. Think about the lack of freedom of speech you had to challenge the vaccine program. Sheep to the slaughter? I'll let you be the judge when we get to some of the statistics coming out of that program in a little bit. There's a guy named Bruce Wilds. He writes, I can't remember the name of his site, but he's a very interesting writer. He said, "Propaganda is a powerful tool that has resulted in many wars that enrich those who make the weapons at the expense of those called upon to give their blood. The sad reality is that, quote, power to the people, unquote, is dead because we, as a people, are so divided and unable to agree on anything." Yeah. This is a long-standing point of this show. Fighting with your neighbors is not going to get you anywhere. And then there's this. I guess definitely the quote of the day today. I'll pull it back up. "Free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated." This is a quote by Mr. Elon Musk. He went on to say, "I also want to make Twitter better than ever by enhancing the product with new features, making the algorithms open source to increase trust, defeating the spam bots, and authenticating all humans. Twitter has tremendous potential. I look forward to working with the company and the community of users to unlock it." So that was the big news as of yesterday. Twitter approved. The Twitter board did approve Elon Musk's bid for the company. It looks like he may be taking this thing private. Now, I don't know if there's any roadblocks in the way of that. Elon Musk has done we've got the financing secured before, and it didn't work out too well, but it looks like this one is a go. I would imagine the board of directors would not have signed off on this without proof that he has financing to make this happen. So congratulations to Elon Musk. I hope that I hope he lives up to the hype. I hope he will prove my suspicions wrong. I was already duped. I was already duped by one billionaire who promised to shake up the system, so I'm really not just at that point in my life where I just blanket believe in the next billionaire who says they're going to come and save us all. And so now we will see how committed to free speech Elon Musk is, and let the firings begin. I really wonder what is happening at the Twitter offices today. And yesterday, as this announcement is made, as the board signs off, it was probably going on all through the weekend if they knew that this was bound to happen, that there was no way Twitter had to accept Elon Musk's offer because it was so rich as far as evaluation for each share of stock. They would have opened themselves up to tremendous shareholder lawsuits had they not accepted this offer from Elon Musk. So maybe they knew, but I would imagine there's... If you listen real carefully, you can hear the sounds of emails being deleted, documents being shredded, and probably lots of sweating going on in the Twitter offices right now as they see a new sheriff in town. Twitter CEO Parag Agwani, I butchered that name, said on Monday's statement, quote, "Twitter has a purpose and a relevance that impacts the entire world. Deeply proud of our teams and inspired by the work that has never been more important." This is the CEO. It's not clear whether Agwal will remain at the top job following the takeover. Musk previously tweeted a meme comparing this CEO to former Soviet leader Joseph Stalin. Musk also said in his offered letter to buy Twitter that he does not, quote, have confidence in management. So I would imagine it's probably not a good starting point for your relationship with your CEO that's going to be long term if you've compared him to Joseph Stalin. Of course, this guy might have taken that as some level of a compliment. The reaction, I'm enjoying the reaction by the blue check marks on Twitter like everybody else is. After weeks of liberals screaming that Musk will ruin so-called free speech on the social media platform, there's been an uptick in internet searches to, quote, delete Twitter. This is according to Ask Gamblers. Total global search trends, including all countries, suggest an increase of 698% in searches for delete Twitter, a spokesman for Ask Gamblers said. Quote, it's interesting to see how Twitter users are disappointed when the world's richest man buys out one of the most popular social media platforms in the world for $44 billion. So this is everybody searching for delete Twitter because they're so scared of Elon Musk and the free speech that he might unleash. I'm still a little cautious on this. I hope he proves me very wrong. But here's my prediction on this. They won't get off of Twitter. This is probably very much akin to if George W. Bush wins, if Donald Trump wins, if the House flips, I'm moving to Canada, I'm moving to Paraguay, all of these other things. But social media is an addiction. Second to that is being outraged is an addiction. And yelling at strangers who think differently than us online without the consequence of a smack in the face is also an addiction. The reason that Twitter is what Twitter is, the reason that Facebook is what Facebook is, the reason that social media is what social media is because it is an addictive product. There is no way that these people are actually going to leave Twitter because they will say that they need to be in the fight, and actually the arguments on Twitter will probably coarsen and get worse. And that's fine. Free speech is free speech. If people want to duke it out, they can do that. I don't participate in that stuff myself. I don't think it's healthy. But there is no way that these left-wingers, regardless of what they say or how many internet searches they do for delete Twitter, they're not going anywhere because they're going to stay there and they're going to stay in the fight and just get angrier and angrier as people are actually able to respond. Thinking people, a lot of good thinkers have been removed from Twitter. They will be back, hopefully, and it will be much more difficult for the left to have its way. This will back them into a corner. This will make them more desperate, more vicious, and I predict Twitter is going to become quite the Fight Club cesspool. Jeff Bezos weighed in on this, and this was pretty funny because this is one of the fun things about social media when these oligarchs comment. He said, "Did the Chinese government just gain a bit of leverage over the town square?" This is from Jeff Bezos. And he is talking about the fact that China is the second largest market for Elon Musk's Tesla and also maybe his biggest source for battery components. So Jeff Bezos tweets out, "Interesting question. Did the Chinese government just gain a bit of leverage over the town square?" And immediately the people on Twitter took after him. He tried to mitigate it by saying, "My own answer to this question is probably not. The more likely outcome in this regard is complexity in China for Tesla rather than censorship at Twitter, but we'll see. Musk is extremely good at navigating this kind of complexity." I think he started to see the replies rolling in to Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, daring to talk about somebody's conflict of interest when it comes to China. One tweeter said, is it tweeter? Tweetist? How much leverage does China have over Washington Post, given the percentage of goods sold on Amazon that are dependent on that country for supply? The way Washington Post disses India, I'd say a lot, but it could be an entirely independent prejudice. Someone else tweeted out a headline from the Times of London that said, "Amazon agreed to allow only 5-star reviews for Xi's book in China." And these replies go on and on. Let me find one of the good ones down here. Oh, yeah. Just this quick one here from Christina Pushaw. She said, "Almost everything on your website is crap from China." So, you know, Jeff Bezos just couldn't help himself. I guess this is the infighting of oligarchs where it goes. Anyway, I'll be interested to see how this thing plays out. Free speech, as George Washington said, is incredibly important. I would love to see Elon Musk restore it to Twitter. I just have my doubts. And as an investment, I just don't get the profit model, how this is a $40 billion company. I'll have to do some research and see what ad revenues on Twitter are. Just having users gets you nothing but expense. Having to run the servers for Twitter is nothing but a huge expense, and I just have yet to figure out exactly how they monetize this thing. If anything, I don't understand why these platforms don't just come out and say, "Here's Twitter. It's now $2.99 a year." How many users have they got? Hundreds of millions of Twitter users around the planet? You may lose half of them that don't want to pay $2.99. But if you've got a couple hundred million Twitter users at $2.99 a year, that's a good starting point for any kind of a platform, yet they don't do these things. Anyway, we'll see. Good luck to everybody out there on social media. I will watch as an observer, as I always do. Be right back. Salvation Radio is cleaning up the nation. They say you better listen to the wise side of reason, but they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason. I ran across a headline yesterday, and my first reaction was, wait, what? I didn't know this was an option. The story was related to a CNBC article that said half of parents still financially support their adult children. Now, that's kind of disingenuous. My parents were of some help to me along the way, as many parents are. But the first thing, you know, you look at that and you think, oh, I know the knee-jerk reaction of so many people. We're so down on the generations that are coming up behind us now. I keep reminding people they didn't drop out of the sky. We're the ones that raised them. But the story goes into, the CNBC story goes into, you know, all of the reasons for this. Throughout the pandemic, many adults turned to the likely safety net their parents, from buying food to paying for their cell phone plan or covering health and auto insurance. Half of parents with a child over 18 provide them with at least some financial support, according to a report by Savings.com. These parents are shelling out about $1,000 a month on average for these kinds of expenses. The story goes on to say young adults just starting out have faced significant financial hurdles over the last few years, including an uneven job market, hefty student loan bills from school, and soaring housing costs. They also mentioned the pandemic as a time when kids were turning to parents. We've even got, during the pandemic, I guess it was, in 2020, the share of those living with their parents, often referred to as boomerang kids, reportedly spiked to a historic high. We've also got, I think, boomerang boomers. I've seen a story about, I can't remember the statistic, but it was pretty large, and this was middle-aged and older kids, I guess you still call them kids when they're in their 50s and 60s, to a parent, you're always a kid, we all know that, that were actually moving in with their parents. Now, I would imagine some of these people are actually taking care of parents. There is that part, but the story that I read, and this was months and months ago, was actually about people kind of in the prime of their working lives were having to move home and live with their folks. I see this as some level of justice that parents are still supporting their children. I think a lot of times we look at this as some level of weakness. I've got two 21-year-olds. I still support them. One's in college, getting good grades. He's working, so I do what I can to help him as well, pay for car and car insurance, these kinds of things, because I want him to get good grades. I'm proud of what he's doing. I've got a daughter who's working full-time. She doesn't need a whole lot of help, but I chip in with her as well. But they're 21 years old. I didn't expect to be able to cut the purse strings at 18. You know, 22, you start to think, I get very excited about the idea of getting a kid off the payroll. And one of the first milestones is getting your child off of diapers. Oh, I remember that day. I just thought, oh my gosh, I don't have to buy diapers anymore. That was a great day. Like, getting them off the payroll is really kind of where the finish line is, but it probably never actually ends. But it is justice to me, I think. I think I come, maybe this is my contrarian corner segment for today's show. A lot of people judge this generation. They're lazy, they're worthless, they go out and get worthless degrees, they saddle themselves with a bunch of loans that they can never pay back, they want forgiveness, all of these other things. I see it slightly differently. It is the parents of these kids right now that sat back and allowed our system to become completely, top to bottom, corrupted. It is the generations before the kids of today that were asleep at the switch. It is the parents that should be providing for these children that gave the government unlimited power over our lives. And you see what they have done to us economically in this country. It is the parents that have elected people who have destroyed the foundation of what had been a strong, vibrant economy. And instead, we enjoyed our creature comforts based on this debt-based society, and the chickens are coming home to roost right now. And it is the parents, people of my generation, I'm implicating my own generation, it is the parents who have been more than fine to leave this crap to our kids as long as they had some level of comfort throughout their lives. As long as your 401k was going up, you didn't really care what the politicians were doing to the underlying structures of our economy, our divergence from capitalism into a centralized planned economy. But as long as our 401ks were going up, as long as our housing values were going up, we were absolutely fine. And we have left the just a train wreck for our children. So if you're a parent and you have voted for any of the people who've held office over the last 40 years, Republican or Democrat, I believe that you should live incredibly modestly and give everything you have in excess of what to meet your most be. We've already taken that. We've extracted all of the comfort out of this society that we can. If you're 50, 60, 70 years old at this point, you need to start living like a monk and taking all of this money and just paying it back, paying it down the chain to the children that are going to inherit this absolute train wreck. I think people are starting to see this. You ain't seen nothing yet, as Bachman Turner Overdrive has told us. But if you voted for any of these people who have been elected to office over the last 30, 40, 50 years, and thought that they were going to take care of everything, and you've gone out there and battled for your party or battled for your politician on either side of the aisle, they have hand in hand corrupted this system and led us to where we are now, and we're handing this off to our children. I think everybody should live modestly and take all of that money and set it aside for your children to help provide for them. We have basically broken their legs, and now we're telling them, we're sitting in judgment of them and telling them they need to run. I ran. You can run. And I don't know if this comes across as too harsh, but I do believe we've had our days of comfort. We have squandered them. We have allowed the worst people to destroy the economy that our children are going to inherit. So if you are currently supporting a child, you have just begun. Because what our kids are going to be facing, as the chickens have finally come home to roost, and I believe they are going to come home to roost in a big way, parents should be supporting their children, not to let them sit around and do nothing. But you need to be a huge safety net for your kids. As I say, many of us have gotten decades and decades and decades of comfort with increasing 401ks and housing values. Well, you need to leave that to your children just so they can survive what is coming. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I really wonder how many people I tick off when I say things like that, that our generation owes these kids something. Because I believe we do. Now, I don't believe in raising a generation that's going to sit on their butts and just wait for a check from their parents, but we have really laid out a bad road for them, and it kind of struck me when I implicate anybody who's voted, myself included. Now, I have not voted for an elected candidate except for 2016 Donald Trump vote, where he did become the president. For 16 or 17 years now, I have voted either Libertarian or Constitution Party. I was not going to, you know, at least at some point, I decided I was not going to continue to endorse any of these people that have wrecked our system. But I know that if a Democrat's listening, they will say, yeah, all you Republicans who voted for the Republicans, this is your fault. And all the Republicans will say, yeah, all the Democrats who voted for all their big tax and spend Democrats, they're the ones who did. We're all guilty. Every single one of us has abused the privileges that we had here in this country in selfish laziness on our own generation. We didn't want to put in any of the work. We just wanted to go in and push a button once every 2 or 4 years and then let it all just play out. And this is how it's playing out. It is really, really sad. And it's one of my main missions. I've got to get to a place where I can help my children out along the way. I know they're going to need it. My children are not lazy kids. They are both working full time right now. And I know the value of what they're earning is going down on a monthly basis because of the money printing done by Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, Bush, Reagan, Carter, Nixon, Ford, I guess, for the microsecond he was in office. Anyway, I think it's just a crime. It's very sad to me, and it's sad to see what we're leaving to our kids. This was kind of interesting. I made a suggestion the other day. We were talking about the mask mandate on the planes and stuff, and I just out of some level of frustration, I think I just said, would y'all just, if you just are so scared to move about society, then just stay home. please just stay home. If you're that scared, I believe you're a victim. I feel bad for you, but just stay home. Well, maybe that worked. Airline passengers who are concerned about flying alongside unmasked people will now be offered refunds, among other things. After a federal judge last week struck down the Center for Disease Control and Prevention's mask mandate on public transport, United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby told the Today Show on April 21st that the airline will be flexible with customers who are immunocompromised and who do not want to fly alongside passengers who are not wearing face coverings, which is what they are. As CNN itself said, they're facial decorations. Quote, all of our customers should feel free to wear a mask, and many of them are. For customers like that, that are immunocompromised or that have other concerns or issues, we are working with those customers, if they really don't want to fly, to find them another option, give them a credit, or if they just don't ever want to fly again, we are actually willing to give them a refund. So there you go. Problem solved. Don't fly. If you were that hysterical, now at some point you're going to realize how ridiculous your fear was. And that'll be great. We welcome you back with open arms back into society. But for right now, instead of forcing everybody to indulge your hypochondria, just stay home. This will work out great. How about some statistics here on how this little experiment they've been running on us works? Now, a lot of people will take exception to the idea that this is an experiment. When it comes to this, and it's interesting, when I do my show notes, whenever I type in for any of my segments here, I keep pretty extensive notes. You can probably tell I reference a lot of articles and clips and things like this. When I write the word vaccine, it's always in quotation marks. You never see that. Nobody else knows until I'm telling you right now, but it's just to put you into my headspace, because this thing is not a vaccine. It's a genetic therapy. And so I even put it in air quotes when I'm writing my notes. So I've got my segment here titled The Air Quotes Vaccine. People will take exception to the idea that this has been some kind of experiment. Oh, no, Mike, they just cut through the red tape. Donald Trump told us Operation Warp Speed. They did everything they needed to do, but somehow through miraculous intervention on Trump's part, they got it done in 7 months. Well, even one of the left's favorite politicians made quite the admission, I thought, when he said this.
And yet, despite the fact that we've now essentially clinically tested the vaccine on billions of people worldwide, around one in five...
Wait, what? Now that we've clinically tested, see, you're in the test phase, and it's not working out so well. I'll show you in just a second some statistics. But again, this is Barack Obama just telling you right to your face, and he kind of chuckles after it. It must be pretty funny. If you are one of these people at the tippy top that maybe went on camera and took a saline shot, but to think that they sat around a room and said, I got to tell you, I don't know if we can roll something out on them with no testing whatsoever. Oh, yeah, look how scared they are. Look at that. We have got them wearing neck gaiters, thinking they're protecting themselves from something. I know. And what about the surgical masks that do nothing for viral transmission? I know. They're wearing these things. They'll take a shot if we tell them to take a shot. This is Barack Obama telling you, you've just been tested on.
And yet, despite the fact that we've now essentially clinically tested the vaccine on billions of people worldwide, around one in five Americans is still willing to put themselves at risk and put their families at risk rather than get vaccinated. People are dying because of misinformation.
Yeah. So you've just been part of a big test. How do you feel about that? I mean, I don't know if they walked up to you, had you gone into the local pharmacy or gone into your doctor's office and he said, hey, we're thinking about testing this shot. We've never used this technology in a shot like this before. We've done no real animal testing. Well, we did do some mRNA animal testing a while back. It did not go well. A bunch of the ferrets we tested on died. But we're going to give it another swing. Would you mind being tested on with this vaccine? How many of you would have said, sure? Now, there are some who would. They were so scared. But yeah, there's Barack Obama explaining to you, yeah, we've just basically tested this on billions of people around the planet. So how's that test going? Let's see. This data has been extracted from the week 5. This is on page 43 and week 9 on page 41 and week 13 on page 41 of the UK Health Security Agency. That's the UK HSA COVID-19 vaccine surveillance report, if anybody wants to reference this themselves. Official data published by the UK Health Security Agency confirms COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness against infection has fallen to anyone? Anyone? Now, remember, where did they start? Anybody remember? 95. I think the first one came out, it was 93% effective. Oh, and the media swooned. And then they came out and someone said, hey, did you hear that? Moderna is saying 93%. Tell them 95 for ours. And they, Pfizer came out with a 95% effective rate. Oh, and the media just couldn't believe it. Oh, my gosh, another home run. What are the chances? It's like, what was that? Along came, no, there's something about Mary. Where the hitchhiker goes, you know, I'm going to make $1 million. Have you ever heard of 7-minute abs? I've got 6-minute abs. The guy goes, well, what happens when somebody comes out with 5-minute abs? And he just stares at him. That's basically what we saw when it came to vaccine effectiveness. So where did we start out? We started out at 95% effectiveness for the vaccine. Official data published by the UK Health Security Agency confirms COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness against infection has fallen to minus 391% among triple-jabbed 60 to 69-year-olds and between minus 298% and minus 324% among those aged 30 to 59. Now, I'm not misspeaking here. I'm reading minus. That's negative efficacy. All other age groups have also suffered a significant drop in vaccine effectiveness, with figures showing all triple vaccinated adults now between 3 and 5 times more likely to be infected with COVID-19 than unvaccinated adults. Should I read that to you again? How's this test Barack Obama told you about going? These figures show that the case rates are highest among the triple vaccinated in all age groups, but not just by a little bit, instead by 1 million miles. And the gap between the unvaccinated and triple vaccinated has been getting worse by the month. Now, I've told you that to get any real honesty, we've had to look to places like Israel, to Great Britain. They will actually put out this. It doesn't stop the propaganda from telling everybody in these areas they need to rush out and get the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th shot. But at least they will release the raw data. Now, it's not reported on in the mainstream media. That's why you have WIAB. It's not going to be reported to you on the WGOP radio stations either. That's why you have WIAB. But at least we have been able to go abroad, and this is pretty much across the board. You know, there's a lot of things, Monsanto's GMO foods, not legal to grow in large parts of Europe. They actually pay attention to the data and maybe prohibit horrible chemicals from getting into their food supply, not here in the United States. Anything goes with the FDA and the USDA here in the United States. But anyway, we've been able to go overseas and get some of this raw data, but maybe not for long. So that this UK health surveillance report on COVID-19 vaccines is finding negative 300, 400% efficacy on these vaccines, meaning you are more likely to catch COVID now triple jabbed than you are unvaccinated by a mile. So what are the UK health authorities going to do with this? Certainly they're looking at this data and scratching their heads going, uh-oh, we've got a bit of a problem here. Well, they have found a solution. The UK Health Security Agency decided to stop publishing weekly figures as of April 1st. Yeah, these statistics are just turning out to be so bad. And they decide that they certainly there's nothing they can do to address these things. So they're just going to stop releasing the data. Maybe some other honest countries will continue to do this. Let me read this to you one more time. You know, I had that caller last week. I don't want to obsess on her, but I wonder if I've kept her. We had quite the terse exchange here on the radio. I wonder if she stuck around to listen to anything more because she wants statistics. She kept telling me, you and I know the statistics show that the vaccine protects you. Well, here's some statistics for you. Again, this has been extracted from the UK Health Security Agency COVID-19 vaccine surveillance reports. Official data confirms COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness against infection has fallen to -391% among triple jabbed 60 to 69 year olds and between -298 and -324% among those aged 30 to 50. All other age groups have also suffered a significant drop in vaccine effectiveness, with figures showing all triple vaccinated adults now between 3 and 5 times more likely to be infected with COVID-19 than unvaccinated adults. Now I understand why the vaccinated are running around still trying to wear masks. They know they've made themselves actually 3 to 5 times more susceptible to the disease. The sick thing is, that mask ain't helping you either. Be right back. I'm going to wrap up a little bit of this COVID and air quotes here in the studio vaccine story. And then next hour, I'm going to get into, we'll do a little bit of Tech Tuesday and also some foreign policy stuff. I mean, I do a foreign policy segment really on Fridays and False Flag Fridays, as I show you how we've been lied and manipulated and tricked into wars over and over and over again. But I kind of feel like it's worth a little bit of extra time during the week as I'm watching the purposeful march towards World War III. This is purposeful. And I'll show you what I'm talking about next hour. But I want to remind everybody that everything around COVID, none of it was about your health. The masks aren't about your health. The social distancing, the lockdowns, and the air quotes here in the studio vaccine, none of it was about your health. A prominent Maryland doctor in charge of COVID-19 testing at Baltimore Washington International Marshall Airport and elsewhere has been accused by federal prosecutors of overcharging Medicare and other insurers by more than $1.5 million. Ron Effenbean, 47, who was presented an award last August by Governor Larry Hogan for his efforts during the pandemic, allegedly overbilled COVID-19 tests in combination with, quote, more lucrative but medically unnecessary, unquote, services, according to a grand jury indictment. Indictment alleges Effenbean knew. That's kind of funny, the name itself, Effenbean. He knew many patients were being seen for less than 5 minutes, but directed staffers to bill for the higher-level services anyway, saying they were the, quote, bread and butter of how we get paid, unquote. Boy, a lot of people in the medical field have really made a lot of money off this. Have you seen the hospital numbers, the profit numbers from hospitals? Hospitals that were routinely kind of, you know, bouncing between making $1 million a year and losing $1 million a year. You know, the main thing is to pay out a bunch of salaries and build new buildings and stuff like that. But they were making maybe making $1 million in a good year. Suddenly they made in 2020, $8 million. And then in 2021, they made $19 million. And so I'm really wondering what this Effenbean guy did to really tick everybody off. He got singled out, but this is our medical model. Just overcharging for everything. Turn everything into a disease. Your child's got excess energy. ADHD! Get a pill! We're going to need to see him every 3 to 6 months. We'll adjust his dosage as needed. Turn everything into a disease. Refuse to acknowledge the role of nutrition in any of it, which could solve the vast majority of health concerns that Americans have if they would just pay attention to what they're shoving into their pie hole. More on that tomorrow between 10 and 11 o'clock. Write endless prescriptions for big dollars for things that do nothing but address symptoms while the mechanisms inside your body just continue to deteriorate and decay as you mask the symptoms of the actual problem that's going on. And then keep a patient from actually ever being cured and instead make them a permanent patient that you can derive endless income from over the course of their entire life, regardless of the provider. This is the medical model. This guy is just following the medical model. Heard the people. into the testing centers, jack up their bill, provide a bunch of unnecessary services to them, a bunch of unnecessary prescriptions, instead of just telling them, hey, what's your diet like? Might want to put down the 12-pack of Diet Coke that you're drinking a day. Instead of doing those things, we just over-prescribe, over-medicate, constant office visits. It is quite the system, and if you look at the amount that Americans spend on healthcare across the board over the last 30, 40, 50 years, you'll see that they know exactly what they're doing. It's not an accident. Now, it's one of these things about when I get into conversations with people that might consider me some level of conspiracy theorist, I say, well, I just find it surprising that the same people seem to always win. You know, people will say, well, you can just chalk this up to incompetence. It's not anything evil or anything planned. It's just that they're incompetent people. I said, well, for a bunch of incompetent people, they sure do really well every time. They always make more money. They always end up at the top of the heap. For a bunch of bumbling idiots, that's very coincidental. Unbelievable, I might say. But anyway, COVID was never about your health. It's about the bucks. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. We'll get to a little bit of tech stuff. I want somebody to explain the blockchain to me. I thought this was secure. I thought this was the vault. I thought we could live our entire lives on the blockchain and perfect comfort and safety. I got to tell you, there's some headlines that have me questioning that. So we'll get to that in a little bit here. I've come up with an idea about American foreign policy. I think it should be called Americaran foreign policy. The meme, whatever you want to call it, the idea that's come to prominence over the past few years of, you know, the whiny person, the person that always needs to see the manager, is a Karen. We can identify the Karens out there because they're the ones that are always, they've always got a problem. Everything's always a problem. As somebody who has spent a good number of years early in my life in the restaurant business, I met a lot of Karens. They really felt that if they spent $14 with your restaurant, that you were their slave. They had really bought you and everything needed to be perfect. If anything was to their dissatisfaction, they needed to see the manager and they thought they should at least get a dessert for free. You know, I was seeing Karens in multiples early in my life, so I've been aware of these people. But I think we have an Americaran foreign policy. Everything that goes on in the world, we want to see the manager. We've always got a problem with it. Everything that happens in any other country that we disagree with is a big issue. We've got an issue with that. We need to intervene. We need something needs to happen because we're hysterical, and we're busybody people here in the United States. And this has floated right up to the very top of it. We need sanctions. We got to sanction this person. And it's some weird combination of the mean girls. I don't know if a mean girl automatically becomes a Karen. I've not really done the lineage of how that works, but we're kind of like the mean girls. We don't like Russia, so you shouldn't like Russia either. You know, we went to Europe and we said, oh, I hear you're getting your oil from the Russians. You know, they talk about you behind your back. We don't like Russia. And so you shouldn't be getting your oil. I can't believe you're getting your oil from Russia. And this is what we've done throughout administrations. Trump was one of the worst at this, unfortunately. And he said, I've warned Germany about getting their oil from, you know, one of their neighbors a few hundred miles away. Instead, they need to get oil from us thousands of miles away. Certainly, that's more efficient and cheap for Europeans. I think Europeans have no idea what they're in for right now. Americans, we're not even going to see the brunt of this thing. I'll tell you about that in a story in just a little bit. Russia is, I think, rightfully saying that we're making everything worse. This story came out. Moscow has reached has reacted to the Sunday visit of top U.S. officials to Kiev, where they met with Ukrainian President Zelensky, in which Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, formerly of Raytheon, I believe, discussed specific weapons systems to soon be transferred into Ukraine. Also, Zelensky and his team reportedly requested heavier weaponry and in larger quantities. Well, it must be nice to be able to just, hey, the guys from the U.S. are coming. Get together a shopping list. They're going to send us whatever we need. I've got a great clip for Friday's show about that in particular. What the ambassador to the U.S., Russia's ambassador to the U.S. said, what the Americans are doing is pouring oil on the flames. I see only an attempt to raise the stakes, to aggravate the situation, to see more losses. This Antonov confirmed that the Kremlin recently delivered another diplomatic note of protest to the U.S., condemning the arms shipments and formally requesting their cessation, but said no response has been given. Instead of a response, it came in the form of the Pentagon chief meeting face-to-face with Zelensky while saying, quote, we have the mindset that we want to help them win. And I've asked this question before. I'll continue to ask it throughout this conflict, which some of them are saying needs to be really long. I've got clips of some of the talking heads, some of the war whore, war profiteer lobbyists that go on and say, this is going to be a long struggle over there. And that's exactly what they want. The goal of war to the arms manufacturers, to the people on the take from them, which includes most Republicans and Democrats. The goal is never to win a war. It is to prolong a war. The more stuff that gets blown up gets broken. Unfortunately, sometimes there's some of those meat puppets over there that get blown up along with them. But there's nothing that makes Raytheon or Lockheed Martin or United Technologies or any of the psychopaths in Washington, D.C. happier than to see military weapons being destroyed by the Russians, because it just means they get to sell them a little bit more. And so what we're doing right now is we're just making this worse. But I've asked the question before, what would we have done had we known, had Russia gone out publicly said, you know what, those Taliban are fighting for their lives in Afghanistan against those American invaders. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to keep going into Afghanistan and asking them what weapons they need to kill more Americans. How long do you think the United States would have put up with Russia shipping weapons into the Taliban with the direct threat that we will just keep giving them weapons until they kill all of the Americans? Do you think the Americans would just sit by and allow Russia to continue to ship arms into Afghanistan to the Taliban? Do you think that in Iraq, obviously we dispatched with the Iraqi army fairly quickly, but what if Russia had decided they wanted to prolong that war? So I tell you what we're going to do. Russia's going to send a bunch of advisors, air quotes here in the studio around that word, basically troops on the ground. Russia sends in a bunch of advisors to Saddam Hussein, sends in a bunch of weapons to Saddam Hussein, and starts killing American soldiers with Russian weapons. How long do you think the U.S. would have allowed Russia to continue to supply the Saddam Hussein regime with weapons to kill Americans before we would have acted against the Russians as they started to bring this stuff over? Yet we always expect something different from them. The hypocrisy is just out of control. Russia's exactly right. We are doing nothing but aggravating the situation and trying to make it worse. This story also came out. Russia's only oil pipeline to the EU is in flames. Germany, Austria, and Hungary face crises. A fire that broke out at an oil storage facility near the Ukrainian border could impact the, quote, only pipeline sending Russian oil into Europe, an expert has warned. One huge blaze broke out near the area of the Donbas oil depot located in the Russian city of Bryansk near the Ukrainian border in the early morning hours of Monday. A second fuel tank exploded and was reported by local state media at a military unit. Some reports have indicated it could be a possible attack by Ukrainian forces on the Donbas pipeline, which sends oil from Russia to Europe through Ukraine and Belarus. Now, a lot of what's going on is about these pipelines. NATO expert Thomas Theiner tweeted out, if this fire is at the Drunzba oil pipeline pump station, then Russia's only oil pipeline to Europe is destroyed. It means Germany, Austria, and Hungary get no more Russian oil. the people in Europe have probably no idea why this is being done. They may support it. They may have been bought into the hysteria of putting the yellow and blue flag on their social media as well. Maybe they believe in this shared sacrifice to defend those poor, innocent Nazis of the Ukrainian government. But they are about to pay a huge price for this. Of course, this is the only oil pipeline into the EU. Why? Because the American foreign policy would not allow Russia to open up Nord Stream 2. Germany wanted it open up so that Russia could get its natural gas into the EU. Russia wanted it opened up so they could sell their own natural resources that God gave them into the European market. But the Americans came in and said, nope, you can't do that. We don't like the Russians, so you don't buy stuff from the Russians. And now this only pipeline heading in there has been blown up. Now, all is fair in love and war, as they say. Russia started an aggressive action into Ukraine. If the Ukrainians fight back and blow up an oil refinery or blow up a pipeline within the Russian borders, that's part of war. Ukrainians fighting back against this is not to not be expected, but the fact of the matter is this could have been settled in an afternoon years and years ago. Of course, we could have just not overthrown the government of Ukraine in 2014, the Americans. We could have just not overthrown the government in 2014, but at any point between 2014 and 2022, in an afternoon, they could have sat down and signed something and said, Ukraine's not going to belong to Russia, to NATO, and we're not going to send in a bunch of offensive weapons into Ukraine so they can park them right on the Russian border or use them to murder, genocide ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine. This could have been sorted out in an afternoon at any point during those 8 years, but they didn't do that because this is the war they want. Europeans, I don't know what this winter is going to look like for Europeans, but it is going to be ugly. I heard reports the other day that somebody, I believe they were from the Netherlands, said that in the past month or 2 months, their electric bill has tripled. Tripled. They're also seeing other inflation, not as high as the U.S., but they're seeing inflation in other goods and services as well in the European Union because they've been printing money endlessly as well. But their resources, their energy costs are going to go through the roof. They are laying waste to Europe, too. So at least if misery loves company, what they're doing to us here in the United States, they're also doing to other Western countries as well. One more story about the American foreign policy when we come back. Stay with me. The way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians. I used to be a big Coast to Coast AM listener. You know, I owned a janitorial company. And when I started the company, my business partner and I spent a lot of nights, late nights, early mornings, cleaning offices ourselves before we brought employees into them so that we knew exactly what needed to be done. So there were a lot of times it would be 3 a.m. and I may be elbow deep cleaning out toilets in a medical clinic somewhere. And so Coast to Coast AM is one of the late night radio shows that does some of the kind of conspiracy, you know, chupacabras, Bigfoot, political stuff, all kinds of different things. One of the things that I always found interesting, and I've followed it ever since, is the flipping of the Earth's magnetic poles. You know, if you've ever really read anything about this or seen anything about it, but it's very interesting. This does happen from time to time. I'm not sure exactly what chaos ensues from doing this, but you'll see reports that the magnetic poles on Earth do move. Now, I think this is normal. If you read a lot of the people that will get... some of it's very obviously clickbait stuff. They've moved dramatically, but, you know, I have no context to know throughout the history of planet Earth, billions and billions of years, how many times these things have moved, you know, which direction, what's fast, what's slow. But the idea that the magnetic poles could just flip, and the people who talk about this say this could cause us some bad problems, and so I've always kind of followed this. Well, the reason I even bring that up is that I was a child of the 1980s. And so I remember, you know, facing off with the Soviet hockey team, the U.S. versus Russia, where America won. This was a big moment during the Cold War. I remember the Rocky movies between Rocky and Ivan Drago. And this was a big thing. It was this face-off between communism and freedom. The thing is that now, in 2022, the United States is dramatically less free than we were back in the 1980s, which was dramatically less free than we were decades prior to that. But as a young, naive child, everything seemed to be really rosy in the 1980s, but we had this threat of the Soviet Union. It was the good guys versus the bad guys. Freedom and capitalism, air quotes around that word. We didn't even have real capitalism back in the 80s, but freedom and capitalism versus, you know, a communist empire that was an expansionary force. The pole flipping thing is I'm beginning to wonder if there's going to be a time where Americans are trying to defect to Russia. The opposite of what we have seen throughout periods of Soviet times, when people seeking to escape communism came to the United States, defected to the United States. I'm really beginning to wonder. The West has gotten so maniacal and so opposed to personal freedoms here across the West. The United States, Australia, England, all of the European countries that have unlocked, you know, done these restrictions on freedom of speech, on freedom of movement when it came to COVID, forced vaccines for people, all kinds of these things. I'm just wondering. Now, Russia is not any bastion of freedom. I'm not under any illusion that Russia is a place that I want to go live and feel that I could operate completely unfettered by the government there. I think Russia has still got a tremendous amount of corruption. Vladimir Putin himself is an oligarch there. Oligarchs run the show. I would not want to be opposed to, I don't know, I could do this radio show in the Russian Federation taking on Vladimir Putin the way we can talk about Joe Biden, the way I talk about Trump or Obama or Clinton or any of these people. I don't know if that's even possible. But it does feel like the calmer heads, the more sane people right now running countries are in the Russian sphere than they are here. Even notwithstanding the fact that they have invaded one of their neighbors, but they gave 30 years of warning of doing such a thing. So anyway, Russia has, the last story I'll do on this is that they're saying that there's new satellite images showing that Russia has been loading nuclear capable weapons onto submarines headed towards Ukraine. A lot of these weapons can be used either nuclear or non-nuclear. We do the same thing here, but the idea that the threat of nuclear war by Russia has ramped up after new leaked images show a Russian submarine being stockpiled with nuclear-capable missiles is not a good thing to hear. And to understand that we just had our Secretary of State and our Defense Chief, Lloyd Austin, the former Raytheon executive, heading over to Ukraine to promise them out in the open. This is not covert. Covert is what we did for, you know, the Sandinistas, when we sometimes support these little groups. I don't agree with that either, but at least sometimes we try to get some plausible deniability. We, you know, the federal government just sells some drugs into the inner cities in order to get, you know, large segments of inner city people hooked on crack cocaine so they continue to sell them things so they can funnel weapons into some area. We're not even doing that anymore. Now we're just going out and basically putting up Broadway lit signs that say, we're sending weapons to kill as many Russians as possible. And how long Russia puts up with this has yet to be seen. There's peace talks right now. I believe the head of the UN, as much as we want to hate the UN, if the UN comes out of this with some level of peace talks, around the United States objections. And you just wait. If anything comes out of the talks between Russia and the UN, America will object. And conservatives, the war whores like the Roger Wickers and the Lindsey Grahams, the Marco Rubios, the Tom Cottons, all the rest of these warmongers will come at you conservatives and they'll go, look, this weak UN, this globalist UN or whatever they derogatory they thing they say about is trying to hamstring, is trying to weaken America. I think one of the best things that could happen for world peace is a weakened America on the world stage. We can still be plenty strong at home to defend our country. But we'll see if anything comes out of the UN talks. This thing's not looking good. It is not looking good. And hopefully it's just another one of the same kind of hysteria that went on in the 1980s or during the Cuban Missile Crisis where everything feels like it's falling apart. But in the very end, nothing comes of it. I guess we will see. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, about to get into some Tech Tuesday stuff. I almost couldn't do a show today because I was trying to figure out my password situation on some sites. Actually, kind of comical. I make no excuses, or I don't deny I am pretty much technologically illiterate when it comes to this stuff. And I was actually trying to search for a this password situation is just completely out of control. Everything I have is password protected. You know, if I go onto a site to just create like a, just a noodle around with a logo for a, occasionally I've got LLCs set up for this or that, or I'll just mess around with some. I've got a logo. Am I really worried that someone's going to come in and just and steal a something? Everything has to be password protected, and every password place wants some different combination of letters and symbols. I'm completely lost in the whole thing. I think this is what's going to get me to take the chip into my hand. I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that. But at some point, forgot password. What email address did I use for that? I've got several different email addresses. I mean, the whole thing is just completely out of control. The funny thing is, I was struggling with this to find something here for the radio station. I finally got through it, forgot my password, got the thing, reset it, got reset up. Then I get into the website. It's the wrong site. I'd actually reset up an account that I think I had used years and years ago for another business I was involved in, and I was in the wrong place in the first place. So I'm just, can we, bank accounts, okay, I get you. Another thing about bank accounts. I think that they have completely given up on any level of security for our accounts, and I'm not sure why this is or how it's not becoming a problem. I've gone to the gas pump. I use a debit card for basically everything when I'm using electronic. I still keep cash. I've got cash in my wallet now. I believe in cash. We should keep cash. Don't go into the cashless society. You have been warned. But I use my debit card. And when you use your debit card now, it says basically, you know, is this a debit card? Yes or no. And if you say no, you can just sign for something and take it. I know, I think on gas pumps, it says, I'll say, yeah, it's a debit card. And they'll say, you know, enter your passcode here, enter your PIN number here, or press cancel to just go on. I just think, is nobody paying attention? We've got signature pads that are electronic. I do some work with a retailer, and we'll put that over there, and people are signing with their fingers. It looks nothing like any kind of signature card you've got at the bank, and some people understand that. They just draw a line, a squiggly line. It has nothing to do. You can't do a good signature with your finger yet. I guess we will evolve that way, but you can't do it. So they're just doing a line. There's no PIN number involved in any of these things. I don't know why there's not massive theft, and I'm one of these people who has not had anything taken from me, not had an account breached by a hacker group or whatever. I don't know how I've dodged it, because every other headline is 500,000 names, social security numbers, and bank account information has been leaked from, you know, Yahoo or Blue Cross Blue Shield, or not necessarily them. I'm not implicating anybody, but it just seems like there's always these data breaches, yet I don't really know anybody who has come to me and said, oh my God, they took everything I owned. Anyway, there seems to be no security here, yet the passwords for every jackass little site where you're doing the smallest thing. Now, I got divorced. There were some passwords I wanted to tighten up. If you're ever in a contentious divorce, there are certain things that you want to make sure you've got a new password for, and it's something that nobody would guess, if you know what I'm saying. But outside of that, really, can they just leave us alone? Before I get into Tech Tuesday, I want to remind you of something. Tri-County Tree Service, if you've got trees hanging, with the storms that have come through, or maybe some have come down, or you've seen the weakness in some of the trees around your house, and they are just looking at your roof, just waiting for the next stiff breeze, make sure you call Tri-County Tree Service. They have got crane-assisted, low-impact tree removal techniques to safely remove whole trees or large branches from any urban or suburban situation. This is Russ Borland and his team. They've got the experience and the equipment to take care of any tree care needs that may arise, and they will do this with no damage to your property, landscaping, anything like this. They are experienced in making sure that they just take care of the work done, don't create more work for you. When storm damage happens, let Tree County Services clean it up, and they will bill your insurance company directly, which means less hassle for you. Online, you can find them at tricotreeservice.com. That's tricotreeservice.com. Or you can call Russ Borland at the greatest personalized phone number out there in the business world at 600-TREE-GUY. 601-TREE-GUY. That's Russ Borland and Tri-County Tree Service. I don't understand technology. I've already admitted that to you. And I guess I need to get Stephen Utroska back into the studio with me. Stephen was the state director of Americans for Prosperity and spent a lot of times in the chair directly across from me here talking about that. He's come in and co-hosted for me, or substitute hosted for me as well. We're supposed to be having a bit of a debate at some point. I need to contact him today and try to get him in the studio. He believes that conservatives who believe in true limited government, real freedom, should stick with the Republican Party, and you need to fix the Republican Party. I don't think that's even possible at this point. I'd love to say it is. It certainly seems like it should be easy. You just vote out the bums and put the other people in. But I've been hearing that for 30 years, not working out real well. So is it time for a third party, or can the Republican Party be fixed? And so he and I are going to have a bit of a debate about that at some point. He's agreed to do it. We just haven't set up a time. But he's also kind of my tech guy. He's gotten into crypto. He paid attention to NFTs. He is. He actually sent me some link where I think I got $10 worth of Bitcoin, I think, in a wallet somewhere. I did take his invitation, and I signed up. Now I have no idea where my wallet is, and I'm sure if I've lost that passcode, it's gone for forever. But he's my crypto guy. I don't understand this safety and security of crypto stuff. I understand the decentralized ledger where records of transactions are just everywhere, so you can't just edit them in one place. I'm not even going to talk about what I understand because it may be wrong. I'm so clueless on it. But my understanding is cryptocurrencies and the blockchain technology behind cryptocurrencies is the safest, most secure way of keeping, storing, and transferring your money ever known to man. And then I run across stories like this all the time. Over 13 million in Bored Ape NFTs stolen by hackers. Now, we're going to talk about two things here because have you seen these Bored Ape NFTs? And an NFT is a non-fungible token. It's a Ponzi scheme. But anyway, it's millions in Bored Ape NFTs were stolen after hackers breached the Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT project, then advertised a fake distribution of NFTs known as an airdrop, which tricked users into clicking a malicious link that gave control over their wallets. And this is their crypto wallets to hackers, according to CoinDesk. And it gets down in here into the value of these things, which is an insanity all to itself. The stolen NFTs include several pieces from Yuga Labs, the firm behind the Bored Ape Yacht Club. According to CoinDesk, the value 54 of the NFTs scammed, 24 Bored Apes and 30 Mutant Apes, is around, anyone? This is 54 cartoon drawings. The value of those things is $13.7 million. The hacker posted a fraudulent link to a copycat of the Bored Ape. I'm not going to get into the details of this because I can barely explain it to you, and maybe you're like me and you don't understand what's going on either. But my question is, how in the world do hackers get into these wallets? Bogus link or not, phishing scam or not, any of these things, I thought once your money went into the Bitcoin wallet, and I know you listeners out there because you email me, I know you'll send me an explanation of this or you'll challenge my... I'm not anti-crypto. I keep saying this over and over again. I want people to understand. I'm cheering for crypto, but I keep seeing things where people are having massive amounts of money stolen in these accounts. Some of the exchanges have been hacked and people have lost, probably up to this point, billions and billions of dollars. And this is all around this blockchain technology. And I thought that's what this was solving, that no one could come take something from you because there is this distributed ledger all throughout the internet that shows what you own and that it's yours. How does somebody come in and take it? Now, this also is just another highlighting of the scam that is the NFTs, the non-fungible tokens, 54 of these things. And you have to really go online and look at these. It is the Bored Ape Yacht Club, I guess. You can go and take a look at these, but they've got pictures of these NFTs of bored apes. It's essentially a cartoon character drawn. Let's see. One, he's got blue sunglasses on. One, he's got a pink wig on. They change the outfits for him. It's kind of like, didn't Barbie do this kind of thing where you get like a picture of Barbie and you can overlay different things to it? So they just take this basic drawing of an ape and put different funny glasses or hats or wigs and tuxedos on this bored ape. They draw it up and someone can buy that file. Now, I am looking at this thing. I'm on the station computer. I better not do it. I'll do it on my own computer. I believe you can go look at this story. It's on Zero Hedge. The headline is over 13 million in Bored Ape NFTs stolen by hackers. I'm looking at images of these bored apes. I would imagine I can right click on this bored ape and I will have the exact same image that somebody who paid $1 million for this thing has. I won't have the bragging rights to say I've got the original code for it, but I'll have the same drawing. And I can do the same things with it. I could make it the wallpaper on my phone or on my desktop. I can do whatever I want to with this JPEG or PNG file. I barely understand those either. That anybody who owns these files can do, yet it didn't cost me $1 million. It took me 4 seconds of right-click save. So the whole thing is just a mystery to me. I know I probably sound like an old man to a lot of people, and believe me, I feel that way sometimes when I talk about some of these technologies. But I don't understand the hacking of Bitcoin. I'll have to bring Stephen Utrosko. If there's any other Bitcoin crypto crusaders out there and you want to come in and do a segment on crypto and explain it to us old normies, I've got a chair across the table from me. You can explain to me why it is the thing of the future. Bitcoin not performing real well at a time when it feels like the world's kind of melting down. We're on the cusp of World War III. Supply chains are breaking down. Inflation is raging. And Bitcoin barely budging, trending down. It feels like maybe it's not living up to the hype, but I'm sure there's plenty of crypto crusaders out there that will tell me I'm wrong. I'll be right back. All right, final segment for the day. We're doing a little bit of Tech Tuesday today. it is so funny. You rail against so many things as you're growing up. You know, we all fight aging to some degree. We don't want to be old. I know when I came up, you know, I had my music that I loved. I know my parents hated it. Now, I did embrace this when my children started really discovering, you know, more interesting music, not just pop stuff. My son in particular got into some pretty, you know, interesting avant-garde, some music I just hated, but I just laughed about it because I realized, you know, that's how life is. Now, I still listen to Rage Against the Machine, 21 Pilots, Linkin Park is my favorite band. I don't know. I'm waiting for the time that switch occurs where suddenly I want to listen to, you know, classical or big band or something because, you know, I already feel like a fish out of water cranking the music that I crank. It feels age inappropriate to me, but I do still like it. But I knew my son, you know, it's kind of a rite of passage for them to play music that you hate. And some of it I thought was just terrible. And I say that as a musician, not just as an older parent. But we all kind of fight or we grow up with this, well, things were better, Sonny. Back in my day, you know, that kind of, you don't want to say those things, but inevitably it happens. And when it comes to technology, I realize when I look, I've got a sheet where I store a lot of tech stories. I've pretty much gone through most of them. Nothing that's really appropriate for now, except for this one last story that I've got. But most of my tech stuff is kind of negative. It's warnings about technology. I won't even embrace crypto. And so many people think I am so out of touch by not understanding this thing. I just keep seeing warning signs around it that cause me some level of concern. So I am fully aware that I sound like an old man telling the young whippersnappers that everything they're doing is wrong and we should go back to the olden days. But, you know, our parents probably felt the same way. And they told us these things, and it annoyed us when we were young. But, boy, gee, when you get older, you know, you keep looking backwards and saying, you know, we don't need this stuff. I was watching a documentary about Steve Jobs on one of the streaming services, And he certainly was a visionary on what he did. It's interesting to see what he did. He's really an odd character. He studied Buddhist philosophy. I studied Buddhist philosophy too, yet he was supposedly a huge jerk to people that worked around him. It's very odd that he gets credit for, he says he wanted to go become a monk somewhere, but instead he became a billionaire who berated his employees. You can't get much further away from what his desired aim was, from what he ended up being. But it was just interesting to kind of watch the evolution of Apple and bringing the personal computer into the home, popularizing it for average Americans, and then it got into the iPhone. And it felt to me like that was some level of a tipping point. Computers have such tremendous productivity advantages to us. I love the internet. I spend too much time on it, largely because of this show. But even before I did a show, I was scoping out news the way that I do now and going through stuff. But when it came to the phone and tethering us to this device in our pockets, and I see this in restaurants constantly, a whole family out to eat, nobody talking to each other, staring into these screens, that glow on people's face when they sit and wait on a bus or do anything else. I think we've reached a tipping point where the technology is just too much for us, and it's become a net negative. But that's probably some confirmation bias on my part. I think if I sat back and really looked at technologies, I'd realize how much better our lives have become because of a whole bunch of different technologies, and we're probably just misusing them. We're probably being missold these things. I talked earlier about people, the blue check marks, saying they're going to leave Twitter because Elon Musk has bought it. I'm telling you, they're not going to. They're not going anywhere. Conservatives have been abused on Twitter, have been censored, have been shadow banned. They've suffered every kind of abuse across social media, Facebook, Google, Twitter. They don't stop. Conservatives are still Googling things. I don't use Google myself because I don't like Google. More on that in just a second. But conservatives are still on Twitter. They're still on Facebook. They're in and out of Facebook jail, yet they continue to... The left is not going to be any different. These social media platforms and these technologies are addictive. And I think they're harmfully addictive because they turn us into very coarse, angry people. I think you see that in the streets these days. A long, wordy way to say, I don't really mean to be a grumpy old man railing against technology on this stuff. It's just some of the stuff is so creepy to me, and it's so unnecessary. I don't want the Internet of Things. I don't care if my dishwasher can talk to my toilet. I have no desire for that. I don't need 5G for anything. We're good. I think we can stop right where we are. Maybe do some things that save people's lives. That'd be fantastic. Make us more productive. That'd be fantastic. But for all of the things they're just kind of, you know, shoehorning into our lives and telling us that we need, I'm old enough to know that we don't need these things. In an article headlined, Big Person, is correcting you on Google. Outlines how the company is to implement, quote, inclusive warnings on Google Docs. This is Google is now going to start giving you inclusive warnings when you type something into Google Docs, suggesting that users refrain from using terms such as policeman or landlord because they're gendered. Warnings will alert users that what they have typed, quote, may not be inclusive to all readers, while suggesting users should, quote, consider using different words. And they offer up woke corrections like police officer instead of policeman or property owner instead of landlord. They've got a little screenshot of it here. Inclusive warning. This is what will pop up if you're typing into a Google Doc. Some of these words may not be inclusive to all readers. Try instead, colon, and then it gives you some of the woke the woke words you can use instead. This one, motherboard. Somebody typed in motherboard. Inclusive warning. Some of these words may not be inclusive to all readers. Consider using different words. When Googling John F. Kennedy's inauguration speech, Google suggests that it should be corrected to for all humankind instead of for all mankind. This is coming to Google Docs. What did I type in? Let me see if I actually did it on my notes here. I tested this on Google Docs, and I didn't save it. I guess I did it. I did all kinds of things. Slave owner, master of the house. I can't remember what all. I didn't get any of these pop-ups yet, so maybe this has not been ruled out yet. Quote, with Google's new assistive writing tool, the company is not only reading every word you type, but telling you what to type. This speech policing is profoundly clumsy, creepy, and wrong, often reinforcing bias. Invasive tech like this undermines privacy, freedom of expression, and increasingly freedom of thought. And they go through a bunch of different examples and end up with saying, so here we have Google literally taking on the role of the Ministry of Truth from Orwell's 1984, policing language and making sure that its newspeak is implemented wherever necessary. This is the big corporation. I'll be very interested to see if this thing actually does roll out. And they suggest these woke interpretations of the words that we type. It's always been creepy to me that on many of these online things that the auto-suggestions within the body of a sentence, not necessarily a misspelled word, but even the structure of a sentence or trying to reorganize things in a sentence can be highlighted with a suggestion, always feels, and I understand it's just computer learning stuff. I don't know, I'd consider it AI. But it just always felt to me like somebody looking over my shoulder as I'm writing anything and making little suggestions, don't you mean to say? It's like, who is watching me type this stuff? Now, I understand. It's a computer program. It's probably not another human being behind it. But I would imagine this data is being stored somewhere, and everything that you type is being keystroke logged somewhere. And with the direction that our country is headed in right now and the West world entirely, that is probably going to be built quite a dossier on you. Anyway, tech could be used for good. We're just misusing it. I got to go. See you tomorrow.
No Bye-bye. Matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.